Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Good morning, Amazing Grace. Good morning, Facebook and YouTube. And thank you, Pastor Fee, for another opportunity to come up here and speak to you guys today. I liked your analogy. Tag your it, huh? Tag your it. Well, who else remembers when you're running around and playing tag, get to home base and you're safe, right?
That's right. Yes.
That's right. Well, kind of has something to do with my message today. Choosing to dwell in the presence of God. And that reminds me of, you know, being safe at home. He can't get you when you're safe and dwelling in the presence of God. Amen. Right? Amen. So, just before I get started, I did want to lift up the family again, Lord God. It's been a rough week of mourning, but for the Thomas family, for the Sesma family, we lost somebody really close to us. And I pray that the mourning could take its course, Lord God, and we could turn that mourning into dancing and just basking in His goodness and being thankful for what we have, because we have today. And as long as we have today, we can choose to dwell in the presence of God. We could make things better for our family, for ourselves. So I just, one more time, I'm going to lift up the family. And before I open up, I'm going to open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm just thankful today, Lord God, to have us out here today on this blessed Sunday, Lord God.
Yes,
God. I just pray for my family that's grieving hard right now, Lord God, that you could soften their hearts and let them come to you, Lord God, and not seek out a cure for their grief, Lord God, through any other thing than your love, because your love lifts us all up, Lord God. And I, for one, everybody in this church house today could vouch for that love, Lord God, that it's above everything else, Lord God. And I just thank you for that, Lord God. And I just pray today, Lord God, that you help me deliver this message, that the church could hear, that everybody tuning in today on social media, everybody who didn't make it out here today because of their illnesses, Lord God, that they could hear this message and that it could be felt, heartfelt, Lord God. And I just pray for eyes to see and ears to hear the message that's being brought on us today. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Choosing to dwell in the presence of God. And I'll be in Psalm 91 today. Psalm 91 today. Unlike my last sermon, I really wanted to break this down. It's not the longest psalm that there is. It's only 16 verses, but the power in it. And a lot of times when we study the Bible, or even just reading a chapter or a Bible verse, you read through something and you don't take the time to break down what's being said. So if you guys could just bear with me today, and I'm going to break down every verse, 16 verses. I'll start off with just the whole 16. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays at waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. So again, like I said, there's a lot going on in this that the psalmist has presented to us. And I just wanted to break it down verse by verse, just so we could understand what's being said here in the Old Testament. So let's go to Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now this verse opens in a declaration of the benefits of dwelling in the presence of God. To dwell in the secret place of the Most High signifies a close and intimate relationship with God. Such a person is promised protection and security, being sheltered under the shadow of the Almighty, which speaks of God's watchful and encompassing care. I yearn for that. I don't know about you guys, but I yearn for that. No other place I want to be other than in His presence when I wake up. That's right. As soon as I wake up and I open my eyes, I turn over right there and get on my knees. And that's the best place to start your day. Amen. Amen. Daily. So I'm going to go down. Okay. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. We have to trust in Him. We have to trust in Him no matter what's going on in our lives, what hardships we're going through. Trust in Him. He's got it. He's got it. Yeah. And again, like you guys, I did a whole sermon last time. You know, who are we to doubt His powers over anything that we go through? So just trust in Him. And this verse is an expression of a personal trust in God as a refuge and a fortress. By speaking out this trust, it reaffirms the reliance on God's protection and strength. This verse encourages us to openly declare our confidence in God, acknowledging Him as our reliable source of security. Again, just got to let it go. He's got it. He's got it. Verse 3. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. The perilous pestilence. Now this verse speaks of God's deliverance from various dangers. The snare of the fowler symbolizes traps set by the enemy. It depicts a subtle trap, things that seek to deceive. Now, if you're not familiar with what a snare is, it's a trap for animals to catch their foot in a little hoop. We've seen cartoons our whole life, right? Where you walk in and it right? That's a snare.
Except the Road Runner.
Except the Road Runner. He ain't get caught. Not all of us could be as slick as the Road Runner. So we got to make sure that we rely on the Father.
That's right. Amen.
But those traps, they're subtle traps.
Yes.
They come in various ways, various looks. It could be road rage. You know, someone would cut you right off. Especially nowadays, right? I pull up to a red light, and somebody woof woof right around me. You know, like, whoa. Where do you got to go so fast that you're driving like a nutcase? You know? And you know the craziest part about that? Pull up to the next light, and they're right there.
Yeah.
Look over like,
yeah.
All that. Other things, you know, people say when they go to work that you could, you know, get away from certain snares. No, there's more. It could happen at work, you know. We're supposed to be professional at work, right? But when, if you have a job dealing with the public come in with a whole different, you know, a whole different spirit about them, you know. And you don't want to let that spirit jump on you.
That's right.
Just got to trust in God and notice these snare traps. He's got them all over. He's seeking to deceive us. He wants us. He wants to knock us right off of our horse.
Yeah.
Don't matter if it's the beginning of the day, the end of the day. You know, sometimes he'll throw a curveball for you while you're right in the middle of sleep. Get that phone call. You never know. Again, don't only wake up and be on your knees, but before you lay your head, get on your knees and give thanks and just pray for everybody in your family and make sure that we're all
covered.
The perilous pestilence refers to a deadly disease. It portrays events that with force affect everyone in their path. This verse emphasizes God's ability to rescue his people from both physical and spiritual threats. Those are the word pestilence, it sounds like something, it has pest, but pestilence kind of magnifies that, kind of shows you that it could be this small or as big as you let it. But again, it's just a snare, it's just a trap to take you off your course. And I just pray that we're strong enough to dwell in the presence of God and do the right things. Pray, put him first before we get involved in any of these battles. Okay, verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Another way that I would describe this is being under the umbrella, right?
That's right.
Being under the umbrella, that's something in my generation that we've always said, you know, when you're with us, when you're with our group of friends, you're under the umbrella, you're under our protection. But as anybody knows, as I know, there ain't no protection under that umbrella. It might be a little here and there where, you know, going up against a group of people who are trying to get you, there might be a little protection there, but nothing that God's got. Nothing can compare to God's protection. I ain't trying to be under that umbrella. I'm trying to be under his feathers, under his wings. That's where I want to take refuge, and that's where I suggest anybody in this world find refuge. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this verse employs metaphorical language to illustrate God's protection. Just as a bird shields its young under its wings, God provides shelter and refuge. The mother bird spreads her wings over her young to protect them from storms and predators. She will allow herself to be wounded to protect them. Imagine that. Imagine that. She keeps them warm and sheltered, and the baby birds feel safe in her embrace. Such is God's fierce love for humanity. He has that. You don't have to go any farther than looking at what he gave us with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Before that, We had to rely on animal sacrifice. If anybody's familiar with the Old Testament, oh man, it reads like a laundry list of what you got to do to cover yourself. You gotta dang near kill every animal you see just to cover the sins. You're waking up and you're falling down and taking out all these little animals, but the Lord said there's going to be one more sacrifice that it's going to cover all these things, and we're not going to have to worry about that anymore. As long as you declare Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you won't have to worry about it again. Thank you, Jesus. Now look at this in Psalm 17. If anybody wants to go to Psalm 17 really quick, it's verse 8 and 9. 8 and 9, where it says, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppresses me, from my deadly enemies who surround me." You see, saints of God, truth represents His faithful promises, acting as a protective shield against harm. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Wonderful stuff going on here with this psalmist. Psalm 91. And Psalm 91, I've been hearing since I've gotten saved. Everywhere you see it a lot. Psalm 91 is great. There's all kinds of goodness in this. So let's jump down to Psalm 91, verse 5. "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the," I think I put number 6 in there too, "nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday." So the reason I decided to put these two together is because there's a lot to break down, and I didn't want to break it up. So in these verses, the psalmist assures that those who trust in God need not to fear any form of danger, whether it's the unknown terrors of the night or the threats faced during the day. Now this verse emphasizes the peace that comes from trusting God's security. But let's dig a little deeper into this here verse. The Hebrew day had 4 equal parts. And this verse reveals that each one is under God's protection. 4 equal parts. Night represents times between 6 p.m. and midnight. Right? Day represents the time from 6 a.m. to noon. Okay? Darkness represents the time between midnight and 6 a.m. And noonday represents the time from noon to 6 p.m. You see, so God constantly, His constant protection 24 hours a day is what He's given us. Not 6 hours at a time, which it's broken up to, but 24 hours a day. And there's a lot that could happen in 24 hours in a day, right? A lot could happen. Now look what I found here in verse in Isaiah. If you would like to go to Isaiah verse chapter 43, verse 2. Trying to be patient with you guys. I know a lot of people like to read along with Scripture. So I don't want to get too ahead of you guys if you guys are there already. Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 2, and it reads, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. When you are in the presence of the Most High God, there is nothing there won't hear. He won't guide you through and protect you from saints." Right? Nothing He won't protect you from. Matter of fact, if you guys could just turn to your neighbor Turn to your neighbor and let him know, in his presence, you are protected. In his presence, you are protected. In his presence. Not the homies. Not the homies. Not the big homie and the little homie and the one with the this and the one with the that.
Some of them will run.
They'd be gone. I was gone. Turn around and say, well, why didn't you run? That they don't even show up. But God does. 24 hours a day. In a time that he won't show up for you. Just got to call on him and choose to dwell in his presence.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. That's a lot of people falling, huh? A lot of people falling. I know I'm probably one of the younger people in this crowd, but how many of us have lost so many friends and family?
Oh yeah.
So many. Not to say they weren't covered. Some of them get taken out early because they just, you know, the Lord, that's his plan to take them home early. But some, unfortunately, they die in their sin. That's why it's so important for us as saints of God, as people of God, that we make sure that we're letting people know that we love, that we could talk to. Even if we don't love them and know them, if you see somebody, we have a responsibility to let them know there's something better for you. You don't have to live this way. No man, no friend could feel you the way he does. Nobody. So in this verse, it emphasizes the contrast between the fate of the wicked and the safety of those who put their trust in God. The image of thousands falling is a vivid depiction of adversity. Yet the promise remains that those who rely on God will remain untouched by these troubles. Right? It emphasizes that believers will only observe. They will only observe, not experience, the destruction, suggesting that while challenges exist, ultimate harm is prevented. You see, even in hard times, God has the final word, the final say. Amen. Verse 8. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. He's sparing us there, right? In us as human beings, we don't, you know, it's hard to watch, you know, what's going on in the world. The people who are making bad decisions and succumbing to the decision they make. You know, the political world will twist some things up and demonize actions that happen. But at the end of the day, we all have a choice to make the right decision and not act out. And not all of us were you know, raised in the streets where I learned young. You messed with the cops, you messed with the police. You ain't gonna win, you know? They got more bullets, got more backup, they practice, you know? They practice hitting their target. They ain't practicing hitting you in the leg and wounding you. They shoot to kill and they're trying to lay you down. If you disobey, if you go against what lawful commands are being ordered. So here, the psalmist speaks of witnessing the consequences that befall the wicked. And I'm not saying that the people who, you know, are experiencing these things in the world that we're exposed to are wicked. But where's their heart? Where's their heart? I haven't seen none of my people here in this church on TV cursing at the ice and, you know, throwing stuff. It's just not in our hearts. It's not in our hearts. We have compassion. I know everybody here pretty good. And I know everybody's compassionate. But what kind of compassion are you showing to the man who's doing his job by throwing things, by yelling at him, by following him around and cursing at him, you know, with your children in the car with you, behind you, physically hitting them? Again, I can't judge. I don't know their heart. But God's telling us right here, we're going to see the judgment of the wicked. And us as believers, we're going to be able to decipher where we would be with our actions. That's right. And where they are with theirs. The righteous will observe the justice of God being enacted upon those who oppose him. I also feel that here it refers to Exodus, where the destruction of the firstborn of Egypt by the pestilence, which was both the punishment of the oppressors and the mercy of the oppressed. For all the men in our Bible studies, man, we've been in Exodus for a good amount of time. We've been in it for a good amount of time, but there's a reason behind that. There's a lot to decipher in Exodus. There's a lot going on. And I think there's been nights where we spent 2 hours and got like three to six verses. Verses. Not chapters, verses. Because there's a lot to break down. Exactly. So what I'm saying here, he says, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. And the reference to Exodus pointing out where Egypt kept the people of God in bondage for so long that they were used to it, and they were just accepting of being slaves because they were being fed. They had homes. It was all right to be kicked and thrown, you know, treated like dirt, you know. I mean, the day Moses came back and he seen his people getting beat up in the something broke in him. Yes. In the courtyard, something broke in him, and he defended his people. He did with his heart. He reacted with his heart. But again, so with this verse, speaking about the destruction of the firstborn of Egypt by the pestilence, it's that word again, which was both the punishment of the oppressors and the mercy of the oppressed. Both the punishment of the oppressors and the pardoning of the oppressed that Israel saw when they witnessed themselves unhurt, untouched. Imagine that. Unhurt and untouched. The madness that was going on in Egypt that God put on them for their sin. And not saying Egypt as a whole were sinners and you know, wicked in their hearts, but were they protesting against it? Were they chasing down the Pharaoh's army? And tell them that's not right to treat them. No, they weren't. They're like, oh, those are the Jews. They're the slaves. That's how they get treated. So when Israel saw and witnessed themselves unhurt and untouched, that was the eye-opener for them. In this instance, the Lord aggravated the damnation of sinners, that with the eyes of the oppressed, that they shall behold and see the reward of the righteous. So it will magnify the salvation of the saints, that with their eyes they shall behold and see the destruction of the wicked. So essentially, 91 verse 8 is a message of comfort assuring the faithful that God is in control and will protect them even in times of chaos. Amen. Praise God. Moving on to verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. This verse echoes the sentiments of the beginning, highlighting the choice to make good one's refuge and dwelling place. The result of this choice is a continued experience of God's protection. The character of those who shall have the benefit and comfort of these promises, it is much the same with that of Psalms 91. They are such as make the Most High their habitat. Their habitat. Could you say that you're in the habitat of the Most High? Best place to be. I want to be in that habitat. And they are as such to make the Most High their habitat continually with God and rest in Him. Make His name both their temple and their strong tower. To dwell in love and to dwell in God. You see, it is our duty to be at home in God, to make our choice to dwell in Him, and then to live our life in Him as our habitat, to converse with Him and delight in Him and depend on Him. And then it shall be our privilege to be at home in God. Amen. Not to just say, hey, I'm at home with God. No, it's a privilege. Thankful. Be thankful. To be welcomed to Him as a man to his own habitat without any hindrance or bother from the laws of men or the wrestling of the conscience. Then too we shall be safe in Him and shall be kept in perfect peace. In perfect peace. For some of us, we got a long way to go to perfect peace, but it's right there. It's in arm's reach for us. We just got to keep working at it, saints. If you guys want to turn to Isaiah 26, verse 3 through 4. I just wanted to show you what I found here to go along with this. Verse 9 of Psalms 91. Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. And you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. Everlasting strength. Amen? You guys getting something from us today? I'll tell you, this teaching came to me like a wham, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to speak on. I didn't think twice about it. Up until the point where I ran into this today, I was like, should I do this? Should I speak on that? Tell me, Lord. Show me. Show me. Show me. I think I prayed for about a month. My dad asked me last week, are you ready? I said, kind of. I'm praying. Like I said, God just bang. He hit me with that.
He's always right on time,
right? There's been a few times, you know, where I was Friday night, Saturday night, putting it together because I knew what I wanted to talk about. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't, you know, babbling on and doing my thing. I wanted him to do his thing. So this was a little different for me, but I'm loving it. Yeah. So let's go down to verse 10 now. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. your dwelling. Now this verse, the psalmist reassures that those who choose God as their refuge are shielded from evil and harm. Their promise extends to protection from any form of disaster or calamity. This verse signifies that while believers may experience trials, they are spiritually shielded and no ultimate destruction harm can touch those who make God their refuge. And again, it's more of the same, and you know, more of what I've brought to you guys in past sermons, that you know, there's don't have fear, have trust. Verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Now this verse introduces the role of angels as guardians. Brother Angel, you're a guardian. Angels are appointed to watch over and protect God's people in all aspects of life, ensuring their safety as they navigate life paths. Now, the context of this verse is trusting in God as a refuge rather than a license for recklessness or forcing God's hands. So, what I take from that description there is you can't accept God and live in his presence and then go out there and road rage, you know, fly off the handle because somebody disrespected you, you know. You can't jump back in the world and put on that same worldly suit. There's no full armor of the world that'll protect you. You got to put on the full armor of God. Again, rather than a license for recklessness or forcing of God's hand. He doesn't want us to tempt him to slap us back into where, you know, we got another life-changing incident. He wants us to dwell in his presence. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. It highlights that God is both the protector and the one who dispatches angels to survive that purpose. Imagine being a born-again Christian but showing up to the neighborhood for a gang fight and expecting for the angels of God to protect you and help your homies to victory in the name of the hood. You know? I pray for the kids before every game, you know? Imagine showing up to the park. And bring it in, fellas. We're going to pray for this get down right here, you know? Ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. No matter what you do on a Sunday, you show up Sunday night to get busy with the crosstowns, you know. You're doing the devil's work. So we can't live on both sides of that coin there. We just can't. It's not a good look. Now, to keep you in all your ways, as it is expressed here in verse 11, doesn't cover your worldly ways. When you repent and turn away from such things, you dwell in the presence of God, not in the presence of the barrio, of the clica. No, come on now. The presence of God. We had a vigil Friday night for our loved one that passed on, and I'd say there's about five of us that are saved and serving the Lord. And there was about 40 people there, I don't know, maybe more. A lot of young homies and older homies that are still in the flesh. And I really didn't know what to expect of the turnout. It was in downtown on 8th and C Street. And if you guys are familiar with that area right now, I mean, that's That's the hood right there. That's pretty close to becoming Skid Row. I wouldn't call it Skid Row yet, but it's pretty bad. And I showed up to pay my respects, to try to, you know, be there for the family. Pastor Caesar came out from the Remnant Church, and he's going to do the funeral services, and he knows the family. Pastor Jesus, and he brought, you know, the word, a prayer, and that was the beginning of, you know, maybe the first, 20, 30 minutes. So things were good still. Yeah, there's a lot of people drinking, you know, smoking weed is natural. It's like a cigarette now, I guess. A lot of that going on. But I was navigating through all this stuff. I was like, I got to be here for my family. But I don't want to be around that, you know? So, like I said, about 5 or 6 of us brothers that are serving. Not just going to church, we're serving. And I was fellowshipping with them, you know? And that was good. Talking to, you know, even seeing some of my older homies that I haven't seen in a while that are serving, you know, away from the city. They were like glad to see me and to hear that, you know, I am where I am. And one of my best friends is where he is, up in Temecula Victory Outreach. So it was, we were having a good fellowship in remembrance of Brother Mark. And the longer I stayed there, the more stuff just kept popping up, like pop, 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 weed and cursing. And, you know, I think there was even a point where one of the young homies from the neighborhood tried to pop off on somebody and disrespect them for not, I don't know. I don't know what he felt, but somebody put him in his place too. It just shows the spirit that they're living in. And, I found myself, I was bringing up Jesus to as many people as I could because I wanted to be in the presence. I wanted to share. I don't enjoy seeing my family and my friends hurt or live in the flesh, live in this worldly life that they're living. There's even a point where they said, hey, we're all taking a picture. Everybody's in the picture and this guy's throwing up stuff. And I was just like, you know, like, how to get in this picture. And I screamed out, Jesus! Christ gang! You know? Because my spirit was not comfortable there. Again, I was trying to show love and be there for my hurt family members who are going through it right now. My brother Mike, he's going through it right now. So I was trying to be there for support. But at the same time, I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy myself as much as, you know, seeing people I haven't seen in a long time could have went, what you would expect it to be like. Again, it just shows, it showed me how far I've come, you know. And temptation was nowhere near me. No, I smelled all the weed and I'm good. Nobody offered it. They wouldn't have had to. It would have been a stiff arm. Yeah, that's right. It would have been the Heisman of God that day. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Moving forward. Down to verse 12. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So continuing the theme of angelic protection, this verse assures that God's angels will prevent even minor harm, depicted here as not allowing a person to stumble over even a stone, signifies intense divine protection by angels. Intense divine protection by angels, preventing them even minor injuries or obstacles. Not even a stone is going to trip you up. And I'm goofy. I tripping over cracks in the concrete all the time. God catches me. Balance, right? Yep. balance. It portrays God's meticulous care for believers' daily lives, acting as a guardian against stumbling. Again, I could have stumbled that night, Friday night. The Spirit of God is with me, though. The promise in this verse is seen as a source of comfort and assurance of God's constant, active, and protective presence in the lives of one dwelling in His presence. Amen. Okay, down to verse 13. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Now, we live in California. We won't run into many lions out here unless you go to the zoo. Mountain lion, maybe. Matters where you're journeying off to. But here in this verse, the psalmist used vivid imagery to illustrate God's empowerment of His people over dangerous creatures. We all know the story of David and the lion, right? The lion's den. Man, one rock and a sling, that's all it took, right?
That's it.
That boy was in God's presence. Amen. It symbolizes victory over both physical and spiritual adversaries. Now, I don't believe God wants us to seek confrontation with a lion or cobra to try to test Him. He doesn't want us to confront a cobra to try to test this series, saints. So just chill out on taking that African safari just yet. Okay? The boss that I work for that I told you about, when I lost my money, he cashed me out. He's in Africa right now. I see that boy crazy. He sent pictures of one of the workers of, you know, the lions eating. I was like, whoa. I'm good. I'm good. But if your life steered you in a direction of such harmful encounters, dwelling in the presence of the Most High would be enough to prevail in such circumstances. Amen? Amen. As it says in Philippians 4:13, I don't think I have to guide you guys to that. I don't think you have to flip to 4:13. We're all pretty familiar with 4:13, Philippians, where it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Amen. Not some things. All things through Christ who strengthens me. I love that verse. Make some jerseys with that verse. Oh, wait, we got some, Hamid. Okay, here we go. We're almost done here. We're at Psalms 91:14. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He has known my name. Amen. I pray that God knows my name. Actually, I don't pray. I know He knows it. He knew it from before I was a twinkle in Pop's eye. Ben know my name. I'm going to give you a Marty and an Artie. Two of each, huh?
Yeah. You just bring a Danny in the
I'm going to break this down pretty good for you guys because I like this verse 14. So, here God responds to those who loved Him and know His name. This verse emphasizes the relationship between love for God and the assurance of His protection and exaltation. Okay. Conditions for the promise. The protection is triggered by setting love upon God. Deep affection, commitment, and knowing His name. An intimate experiential knowledge of His character and power. Now, the divine response in this verse is God's promises to rescue from peril, protect from evil attacks, and provide security. Though this does not imply total immunity from earthly trouble, because we could still face it. Right now we have a few people out facing some illnesses, and we're praying for them to get better. Sister Jessica, Sister Tammy, Sister Emily, we're praying for you guys to get better. Brother Lafayette, we're praying for you guys to get better with the hurry upness. Because we need our family together. We got too many empty seats out here today.
Amen.
But I know they're tuning in. I know you guys are watching. And God bless you.
Thank you.
Praying for you. Psalm 91:15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Now, God promises to be attentive to the prayers of those who call upon him. He assures his presence during times of trouble. He's assuring his presence during times of trouble for us. Delivering and honoring those who trust in him. Gotta trust in him. Gotta trust in him. This verse promises that God will answer, accompany, rescue, and honor those who love him and call on him during times of trouble. It highlights a personal, active, and responsive relationship, assuring believers that God is present during adversity to provide comfort, protection, and ultimate deliverance. So call on him, folks. Call on him. Serve him. Amen. I know a lot of our church members are serving him in different ways, and today I'm grateful that we had the live worship. We had Brother Caleb and Deacon Angel to serve as our worship team today. That was awesome because, I mean, it was maybe once or twice in 2 months that we've had the live worship. I miss it. It used to be live. You get here and, you know, I mean, not to say that I don't love the music that we hear on the screen, but live worship, and it allows our brothers to serve him through worship.
Right.
Worship is so strong. And I was just talking about it with Brother Louie yesterday that, you know, when we listen to worship songs, you could be anywhere. You could be anywhere doing anything. And it'll touch you. I love that. I love that. Before I got saved, oh man, I'm ashamed for anybody to hear what I listened to. It was, you talk about bleepity bleep, there was more than bleepity bleep going on in the stuff I was listening to. And unfortunately, and I pray against it, it still rings in my head. There's times where, you know, might not be able to sleep or wake up or even just working, and an old rap song will come in my head, and I'm just like, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that.
Amen.
Got my AirPods now. Throw them in. Throw on some worship music so I could give him praise, so I could be in his presence anywhere. Get in Judy's car. Caleb, you know, might be the same 10 songs over and over again, but them same 10 songs, they'll get you right. They will get you right. They will get you right. And again, before I got saved, the music I listened to was, there was times where I had to like, I'm going to change this because Manny and Danny in the car, I don't want them hearing this and that. And you know, subconsciously, you know, they could hear it, but you think they're not paying attention to it. But music works subconsciously. It's a spirit. Who knows what these guys are doing when they create their music, you know? It's ugly. And
it's influenced
by Satan. It definitely is. And a lot of times, you know, someone might have good intentions on trying to better themselves, but in what name are they bettering themselves? Yeah. It ain't God's name. They might go up there in the award shows and give thanks to God, but what God are you giving thanks to? The Most High God? He ain't sanctifying that music. It's just not it. So when I started noticing that, I started putting on maybe some rock music. Next thing you know, the rock music is cussing too, and I was like, ah. Oh. But I wanted my kids to kind of, you know, not hear all the really bad stuff that I was listening to. So I would put that on, and they was, you know, banging their heads and all that. I thought I was doing something different, but it was the same spirit. And I'd say that summer before I got saved, Judy was starting to be frequent at the Bonita Church. She was showing up while I was going to play my ball, and she was coming and getting involved in the church. And she started playing the music. She started putting on K-Love before I did. And I just remember one day, I got in the car, and she was listening to, I think, Graves in the Gardens. Such a strong, beautiful song. And my kids were singing along with it. Okay. And what that showed me is that they do listen to what we're listening to. They are exposed to what we're exposing them to. So what do you want? What are you choosing to expose them to? You know? And I was just like, I was taken back by it. I might not have been ready to change at that moment, but I knew something had to give. I knew it. Yeah. I knew it in my heart. And slowly but surely, I started looking at it a little different with the music thing, you know? Started trying to find things that didn't curse. And I think right towards the end, getting in her car, because I still had my stuff. I stopped wanting to hear my stuff, and I let her be the MC, you know, the DJ. I said, go ahead, babe, put it on, you know? But very influential that was for my children and what I seen, and I just decided, I said, you know what? I can't let them hear this stuff anymore. And little did I know, God was going to change everything for me. Everything. Putting it all in order.
Stepping out in faith.
It's stepping out in faith. And yeah. I'm thankful. I'm so thankful today that I am where I am, dwelling in the presence of God. And my wife's with me. And my children are with me. Yeah. And we're doing it as a family. Yeah. Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Last verse here. Psalms 91:16. With long life, I will satisfy him and show my salvation. The psalm concludes with a promise of a long and fulfilling life for those who remain in God's protection as a final declaration of God's desire to provide both well-being and spiritual salvation to those who trust in him. Amen. Beautiful thing. So the enemy is deceptive in the way he operates. He will never openly try to walk into your life. Remember that the enemy has an objective, and that is he comes to kill and destroy. And if you're not guarded, he doesn't need an invitation to come in and attack. The mistake that we make is that we think when the devil attacks a believer, it should be fire and brimstone and destruction and just madness. But no, it will be a shot to the mind through the things you see. what you witness. He will hide behind the things you watch. He will hide behind what you listen to. He will hide behind the places you go. And I don't mean the grocery store, your job, although those places aren't exempt, like I said earlier, right? I mean, when people make the decision to visit certain places and attend certain parties and consume entertainment, what you hear and see, entertain and meditate on are potential points for attack. When you watch something, when you listen to certain types of music, when you visit certain places, you're exposing yourself to the atmosphere. Right? Who watched the Super Bowl this year? Well, unfortunately for some of us, we weren't blessed with a Super Bowl party here at church, you know, so we went where we went. Whoever did decide to go where they went and watch this event, this worldly event. Well, this year I went to my cousin's Super Bowl party / birthday party. And I spoke about it at Bible studies on Tuesday. I think before I got there, I kind of knew what the environment was going to be. You know, I know my family. I know what they're into. I know that my cousin's neighbor are friends. And everybody came from the same neighborhood, just maybe different group of people. You know, we got the Cholo side and the stoner guys side, you know? The Golden Hill Stoners and the Lomas boys. So it was a mixed party, and there were some young people. My nieces and nephews had their friends, you know? And it was crazy to realize at some point that you had so much worldly things going on, from, you know, drinking and smoking weed like it's cigarettes, you know, like, oh, it's just smoking, it's just a joint, it won't hurt nobody. I remember back in the days when you smoked a joint, you went down the street in the alley and, yeah, you know, behind, yeah, you know, cops are coming, flick, that's the flick the joint right there.
Could never get rid of the contact though.
He could, it just smelled on you. I had a good flick too. Bam! Go about 10, 15, 20 feet away, you know? I still had cops showing up and like, where's the weed? You know? So, again, this party had it all. And the kids were there, you know? Not to downplay, you know, the family that were together. I loved being around my family and celebrating another year of life, you know, for my cousin. I think she turned 45. So I knew I wanted to, you know, I wanted to be there, but my soul reacted differently than the past, you know, to all the things that was going on. So I navigated through it, like staying away from certain, you know, things. The food was amazing. I'm a foodie. You can't tell. Some good food, and seeing people I haven't seen in a while was good to see and talk to, you know, and this was all before the tragedy happened, so everybody was in good spirits. And I knew what to expect with the halftime show from rumors, you know, people talking about the Bad Bunny, and he's going to come out in a dress, and, you know, he's going to, you know, do some kind of homosexual something to pay homage to that. So I knew I didn't want to watch the halftime show. I was like, good, I'm good. I had told the kids before, I was like, hey, halftime, Madden Bowl. You know, get on the video game instead. So halftime came, and I said, where are the kids at? I went, and I got away. It just so happened that my nephew's room, is overlooking the courtyard where the whole party was happening. So, you know, still there, still seeing it. But I didn't pay attention to that. I didn't want to see it. I didn't even want to tune into the other halftime show, the TPUSA thing. I was just like, I'm good. I'm not a halftime show guy. So, yeah. So, I'm trying to listen to the Spirit. I'm not trying to ignore it. And the Spirit was taking me away from that moment. And to be honest, He was trying to take me away from that whole,
That
whole thing. And again, like I said, I love my family and I like to see them and be around them and the festive spirit that goes on. It'd be nice to enjoy it, but just the language and the activities is hard. It makes it hard for me. And it's hard for me to picture that in my life now because my dad's been that way for so long. Every time I was the one smoking it, he'd be like, man, you guys are smoking right here in the backyard. We used to go all down to the canyon area. Anyways, that's where I am in my life. And that day really showed me something. It's pulling blinders back, you know. And the more blinders that He keeps pulling back on me, the more that clearly that I could see what the Spirit's doing and what God's purpose is for me. And it sure ain't worldly. Be nice to change some things up. And come to find out the next day, I don't know if anybody's aware, is what that halftime show was really about. It's the largest satanic
ritual
that's ever been performed on the world stage.
That's right.
And we're sitting there, well, some of us were sitting there and just don't understand satanic rituals, maybe. Don't understand the, you know, symbolism of things that they were doing. You had Lady Gugu and Ricky Mark, you know?
It was the changing of guards.
The changing of guards was taking place. They were anointing Bad Bunny.
They took the crown from Ricky Martin
and put it on Brad Bunny. So, just knowing that that's where we are in our time right now, it should be a wake-up call to Christians everywhere. It should be a wake-up call. And, you know, mix that in with the Muslim, the Islamic movement that's going on right now.
Jesus.
We're in the middle of a fight.
Jesus.
We're in the middle of a fight. And I don't know if everybody knows yet. But it's time to gear up.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to get that full armor of God and put it on every single day that we step out of our house. Every day we get up. Pray. Put on the full armor of God. And enter. Because you can walk outside and work could already be going on. You don't know. You just don't know. Just going to close out here a little bit more of what I was speaking on today. But consider this. When we worship God, when we sing praises to Him, you could be in your car, in church, or your home. The atmosphere shifts because you're inviting Him in. You're calling out to Him and you're reaching out. And the same is true, is written when we switch out the lights to watch a horror movie. What are we doing? You're creating an atmosphere. You may think it's entertainment, but it's actually an atmosphere. And you're inviting an ungodly presence, a potential evil attack. The atmosphere of praise, worship, prayer, and unity attract the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Just as the atmosphere of drunkenness, anger, and hatred attracts demonic spirits. And those are spiritual entry points that the devil can attack through. So that's why it's so important to put on the full armor of God and to dwell in His presence. We have to be guarded. Ultimately, Satan wants us to lose our souls. His attacks are going to be spiritual attacks like temptation, for example. And temptation is not only sexual in nature. For example, people are tempted to do all kinds of things, from crime to substance abuse. Temptation can undoubtedly come on hard days, but it can and it will come at other times also. So whatever your day or month has been like, prepare yourself to withstand the devil and stand firm. Stand firm in faithfulness to God and dwell in His presence, saints. Amen. Just a small prayer that I would like to close out today with. I usually like to write something down, but I got to come from the heart today, Lord. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day, Lord God, that you have given us. I thank you, Lord God, for the day that you have made. And I pray that we can rejoice and be glad in it today, and that we could come together, Lord God, as a community, as a church, as a one body that is being created, the body of Christ in this church that you have created in us, Lord God, that we could just thrive, Lord God, and strengthen ourselves and grow, Lord God, and build our children up and teach them everything they need to know about the spiritual warfare going on in this world today, Lord God. And I just pray that everybody here today, Lord God, and on social media, inhaled this, breathed in this word that was given to me by the Spirit of God, Lord God, that we could dwell in His presence. And that we could be the best version of ourselves and to put on the full armor of God and be ready to fight. In the mighty name of Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And I say amen. Amen.
Come on, let's give them a shout of praise. I want to pray for this man of God. Amen. Amen. He said so many key things that my mind was just processing right now. Wonderful things. But when you said, you know, when you were there at the family and it was uncomfortable, that's because God's given you a transformation mind.
Yes.
He's transforming you.
Yes.
So now you're walking in the light.
Yes.
So you were confronted with darkness.
Amen.
The cursing, the music, that's all darkness.
Yes.
And so there was a collision.
Mm-hmm.
And when that collision takes place, you want to get out of there.
Yeah.
Because you can't change that moment there.
Yeah.
Those folks are going to dwell in that until God saves them.
Mm-hmm.
But you and your family should no longer be part of that no more.
Amen.
Because it contaminates your spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so God is now giving you a heart to worship Him and to praise Him and to glorify Him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what happens when God really gets a hold of your heart. You're not going to want those things of the world. And when you were there, let me just share this. I'm going to ask this question. What is this the acronym to the word sin? Who can tell me the acronyms of those letters? The word sin. Okay? And so we were born with it. Right? We were born with it. Because we were born just like Adam and Eve. So we're born with that. So always remember this. Sin. What sin means. It's Satan's inspired nature.
Mm.
Remember that. Satan's inspired nature. So the worldliness that's part of the world, it's inspired by Satan. And so now that God is inspiring you,
mm-hmm.
it collides
mm-hmm.
with the things of the devil. And so this is a good sign. This is a good thing. Because if you're still loving that stuff out there, the bleepity bleep, mm-hmm. something has not changed in you. Are you listening, Facebook and YouTube, those who are here? If there hasn't been a transformation and you still love those things, that means Satan has fully engulfed himself, and you can't escape it unless you give it to God. Say, God, take this from me. I give it to you, Lord, so that you can transform my mind. And see, that's what you did. He surrendered it to God. And thank God for his godly wife that put on the godly music. She, you know what? She was a key factor in your transformation.
Major.
If there's people in your lives, one of the things that you need to do is walk in the light before them. And if you're living with them at home, man, blast the worship. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Drown out the darkness. Yes. Drive it out. Drive it out of your home. Drive it out of your heart. Because that's the thing that takes people to hell. Having that love for that. If you've been walking with God for 10, 15 years, and you still love that stuff, you better ask yourself, am I really saved? Because if you're really saved, you're going to love the things of God. And you're going to want to walk in the Lord and walk in His glory. Mm-hmm. And you want to see other people saved. And you want them to experience what you are experiencing now. You know, it comes automatically. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to go to Bible college to preach the word and to share with someone. God will just raise you up streetwise and use you mightily. And so I want to pray, Father, I thank you for this man of God. I pray, Lord, I thank you for the message. Thank you for his testimony. Thank you, Lord, that he wasn't ashamed to share his heart. What's taking place with him. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that he continues to grow leaps and bounds. Lord, as he is the priest of his home. Lord, as he leads his wife and he leads his children, he leads his family. Let them be a strong influence amongst the extended family, God. Lord, that he will never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. First to the Jew and then to us Gentiles. Continue to use them mightily. And we want to just praise you and give you thanks and honor. I can't wait to hear him down the road, God. Yes. Continue to use him. Yes. And we pray for Brother Louis, who's coming up next month, God. Yes. Use him.
Yes, Lord.
Continue to use him. Sanctify them, God. And do a mighty work, Lord. For we live in the last days. And we know that you're the soon coming King. And you're doing something quickly. So God be glorified and magnified. Be high and lifted up.
Yes.
We thank you and praise you for this man in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Go ahead, brother. I'm going to give an invitation.
And just that one thing that I left out.
Yes.
Two of my little homies, they're in their almost 40 now, they're in the streets living homeless, and I spoke to both of them. I said that there's something better for you.
That's
and
right.
It just took one of them to hear it. And that night, my brother in Christ, David, took my friend Turtle, that I've known since he was a pup, to the Men's Home and Victory Outreach. And
come on.
He's taking the first step.
Amen. First step.
First step.
First step.
First step.
First step.
First step. Oh,
praise God. Hey, before we close out, I'm speaking to those on Facebook and YouTube. I truly believe you've been blessed with this testimony and the teaching of Minister Marty Sesma. And we are mighty thankful you tuned in. But maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you logged on by accident. You were typing the word amazing and Amazing Grace came up. And then you heard a man speaking, and then you tuned in, and now you're locked in. Now God has your attention. If that's you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you may have, hallelujah, an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask everyone to pray with me. to pray for those who may be watching right now by faith. Amen? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sin. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the